This is Equestrian Legacy Radio's Saddle Up America. And from Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Gary Holt. We have a great show today. Today we're going to be visiting with three very special guests, and we'll be talking about five men, one woman, and her dog sharing an adventure in some of the most beautiful wilderness in America. So come along as we explore the Bob Marshall Wilderness and hear their tales with our guests today, Tina Mae Weber, Robert Eversole, and Andy Breland, this week on Saddle Up America. And Saddle Up America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle. You can find them in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net. And by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that is guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about TrailGuard today at trailguard.org. So grab a big cup of coffee, take a deep seat in that saddle, and when we come back, we're going to be making a journey to the Bob Marshall Wilderness in the beautiful state of Montana. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.net.
I always have liked a little bit of Tabasco sauce on my eggs in the morning. And so I got the idea for this song called Louisiana Hot Sauce. Is the heat turned up? Is it warm in here? I'm already sipping on another cold beer. Louisiana hot sauce. Tiny bits of sweat on my brow feels like a fever from the inside out. Tell me how the thought of one little kiss starts just burning on my lips. Just one dance and I don't want to stop. You affect me like a Louisiana hot sauce. Started this Louisiana hot sauce. Tiny bit of sweat on my brow feels like a fever from the inside out. Tell me how the thought of one little kiss starts burning on my lips. Just one dance and I don't want to stop. You affect me like a Louisiana hot
song Louisiana Hot Sauce, and we're going to get ready to welcome to the show now three very special people, familiar folks. And first of all, we're going to welcome Tina Mae Weber and Robert Eversole and Andy Breland. And let's hear it for these three amigos.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I just a little special introduction for you, you three characters, and we're looking forward to a big time on this show today, and got a lot of questions, and I'm going to kind of sit back and let you guys share some of your stories, because I know people have been saying they're going to tell tales on each other.
Never, ever.
No.
Oh, no.
No, what happens in the Bob Marshall. Stays in the Bob.
That's right.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know if anybody saw the way we had posted this show originally, but Montana has now been annexed by Wyoming.
Well, it's more tax base.
Yeah. So anyway, Tina May corrected me on that, and I thought, goodness gracious, how did I make that mistake? But anyway, glad to have you guys on here, and first thing I want to find out is who was it that thunk up this great idea for the three of you and a couple of other partners to travel back into the Bob?
That was Andy, I believe.
Andy or is that Tina May?
That was Andy.
Well, good on Andy. You'll take the blame?
I'll take credit. I did it. Who knows?
I loved it.
I was going to go on a trip. I believe how it started, and then Robert, I was going to take Robert's family in rafting down the South Fork, and then his family thought they were too old, and then Robert still wanted to go, and then Tina May was talking about coming out, and I said, well, we could all do this together, and I think that's kind of how it all rolled into one exciting week.
Yeah.
Well, that's
fortuitous.
Pretty cool deal, and I know that we couldn't contain Tina May's excitement for a couple of months about getting to make this trip, and she had quite a journey. But Andy, let's kind of start with you, because I mean you're located right out there in Kalispell at the Bob, and what all was involved in putting this together, and when did you guys start, and where did you start from?
It started, going back to what we just were talking about, it started with a trip that was, I was going to go in and help Northwest Montana Fire Lookout Association take some supplies up to a lookout tower that is a critical lookout, fire lookout station in the Bob Marshall. And then I was going to do that in conjunction with taking Robert's family rafting. So the planning started like 9 months ago.
Wow.
And from there, it just, not full time or nothing, but we kept, how about this idea? What about this? What about this location? And from there, it picked up speed. And then Tina got involved, who's coming from the flat landing states out there. And she's going, well, can I bring this? Should I bring this? What about this? Can I do this? Because it's not an everyday horse riding adventure for somebody out in the middle of the country.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so because of some change of stuff, we went in at Benchmark, which is on the east side of the Bob Marshall complex. We went in to Basin Cabin the first day and based out of Basin. The Forest Service let us run out of it, and we did some special stuff for them as a thank you. And we ran supplies to a lookout tower that most people never get to experience. And then we went on down to another admin cabin. And when we're talking cabins, for those of you that have not been there, we are not talking chalet.
This was not glamping. Is that what you're saying?
No, by no means. I mean, we thought it was because we had a propane tank, but other than that, it's just a little remote cabin that has basically no form of amenities except a fairly dry roof. And we had to go down and we picked up some barbed wire that had been abandoned, had been taken down in an old barbed wire corral and fence system in 1994. And the coils of barbed wire were just laying in the middle of nowhere. and they asked me if I'd take it out, and so they got to go help pick up prehistoric dead barbed wire.
Oh, gosh. Now, Robert, you're not new to going into the Bob, but how was this trip different for you outside of meeting Tina May? How was this trip different for you from some that you've taken in the past?
Well, I've never hauled water, and I've certainly never hauled barbed wire. So so the loads were a little bit different. As always, the company was fabulous. You know, so and going in from a different place, I had never been in from the east side before. So I was going in fairly blind as well, you know, looking through the maps and the like beforehand. You know, kind of had a general idea of what the terrain would be, but you know, it was the great adventure. And actually, the adventure started off with an adventure. I lost my truck keys. So, but all turned out well, and it was just fabulous. We went in, had a great time, wonderful company, and got a lot of good things done, you know, to help out the fire tower lookout folks, as well as helping the folks in the Bob, you know, pack out trash. So all in all, it was fabulous and productive. I don't think you can ask for better.
And great weather.
Wow.
And great weather.
Awesome. That's too cool. That is too cool. Now, Robert, was this the longest trip that you've taken into the Bob, or have you been back there as long?
No, I think the first time I went in with Andy was actually longer than this one. Back. I mean, it's one of the longer trips. I mean, you know, I think we were there for just shy of a week, I think. So long enough to really, really appreciate that shower when I got home.
I bet. And the neat thing is you guys are still talking to each other after spending all that time. So that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Well, Tina May, this was like a first for you.
Yes, it was all the way around. It was absolutely fantastic. Going in, Tim and I arrived a few days early, and so we observed that is a happening place. That was a busy, busy little place. Lots of packers go in there. I've done discovered that if you're in Montana and you don't have a pack something, you're just out of the loop. And we've watched so many, and I have got to say this. I tell you what, Chuck and Andy and Robert, they got it going on. Big difference. They're great packers. But I've learned so much, and it was an experience that I will never forget. It was just an absolute wonderful experience. And I also come to the conclusion that when there's a job out there that nobody else wants, I do believe that Chuck can take it on.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Well, we're going to take a real quick break and do what we do. And when we come back, we're going to talk more with Tina May and Robert and Andy and talk about how day one started out. And, you know, and let's mention everybody that was on this trip together, because it wasn't just the three of you. So we want to talk about that when we come back. But we're going to take a real quick break. And we'll come right back. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at equestrianlegacy.com.
Hi, this is Eddie Floyd of the International News Show, AM News. I want to tell you about the Wainema Ranch. As a matter of fact, I'm going to invite you to visit Wainema Ranch for one reason. You can visit them online right now and help out where you can with our American heritage, the wild horses and burros at the Wainema Ranch. It is right here north of Reno, Nevada. That's WainemaRanch.com, W-Y-N-E-M-A Ranch.com. Get involved. Visit us today and see why I say my wife runs the ranch and I run my mouth.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Have you heard the buzz that's been going around? It's what's been happening on that little ranch just on the outskirts of town. We're not spreading gossip, and we ain't spinning you
fettuccine with itty bitty strips of rawhide. Her whole wheat flour sack nighties give a new meaning to threadbare.
If you're a lingerie consumer, check out Melba's rumor. Intimate Western wear.
She don't have a bargain basement, but she does have a discount Hayloft, and you'll be glad to hear most times of the year her items are more than half off.
Warm those winter nights in a flannel teddy with a Western flair. Get your sexy burlap bloomers here at Melba's Rumor, intimate Western wear.
Make your honey's moon shine bright. And the buckles on the halters and the harness tops can be let out if they fit too tight.
Panties can accommodate gals with plus size derrières. There's pretty smells for the perfumers here at Melba's Rumor, intimate Western wear. You'll see more than the humor when you gawk at Melba's Rumor, intimate Western wear. Google or stop by the barn and Google at Melba's Rumor, intimate Western wear.
Home of the Yeehaw Bra.
We love our new sponsor. We love our new sponsor, Melba's Rumors. But anyway, that's the Horse Crazy Cowgirl Band, and that kind of brings up a question. I'm not going to talk about intimate underwear on this trip, but did you guys get a little bit ripe while you were out there?
There are springs there. They had nice little cold creeks.
Those were snow fed.
Yeah, they were pretty cold.
gosh, that's funny. That is funny. All right, Tina Mae, we're going to put you back into your co-host mood now. So enough of this guesting stuff.
Dang, that was enjoying that.
Well, you know, we can always switch back again, but let's talk just a little bit about, you know, you're out there 7 days, day one. Outside of the great pleasure of getting to meet Robert and Andy live and in person. What was day one like, and where did you guys, what was your destination? And Tina Mae, since you're new to the area, tell us what day one was like for you.
Oh, I was fascinated. I just sat back. Well, and we helped as well, but we couldn't help much on day one. We pretty much watched and observed. And these
I will respectfully disagree with that.
No, well, you were right in there asking me, can I bring this, can I bring that?
Yeah.
Will this fit?
Tim, the guy half was helping.
Yes, he was. Yes,
and
he was.
And you were taking pictures for posterity. That's very important.
And why we said that, if anybody is on Tina May's Facebook page, you have been inundated with photos and pictures, I'm sure. What is, between the two of you, Robert and Tina, total images taken in 7 days?
Oh, my goodness, almost 3,000, I think, between mine. I think I took 1,300 on Robert's phone or his camera.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, and some of them I deleted because a very, very few were fuzzy. But the best thing I ever did was hand my camera to Tina and say, hey, please just press that button. And so on the computer right now, it says 1,036 photos. So camera or Tina was taking pictures, and by golly, some of them are pretty darn good.
There you go.
Well, I hope you get to use those and put them to good use too. It's gorgeous there. The pictures just don't give it justice, and the total experience, you just can't catch it on film.
Well, and why you say that? That's a big question that I get all the time at the store. Is people call up and they want information, they want to go into Bob, and when you're talking to them, especially those coming from the eastern side of the country where you guys have your horse campgrounds, etc., they can't get their arms around, and I think that Tina can elaborate on this.
Mm-hmm.
you can't get your arms around how much public land is there, how big it really is.
What's your spiel, Andy? Twice the size of Rhode Island?
It's twice the size of Rhode Island.
Bless Rhode Island's heart. They get that thrown at them all the time, whether it's with forest fires or wilderness areas or Texas.
Because Rhode Island, everybody knows how many square acres it is. But just to drive around the Bob Marshall Complex is 400 miles of pavement if you just drove around it.
Wow. That's just crazy. And it was 33 miles into the trailhead? At the Benchmark Trailhead?
Yeah, on Gravel Road.
On Gravel Road. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
33 miles in an hour?
And it was a busy place.
Yeah.
All right, so
unless you're and you break your axle.
Yeah, so by the way, let's just mention who was with you besides the three of you. Who else was there?
We had with us the three of us. We had the gentleman that runs with me all summer and packs with me all summer. Chuck Allen was with us. And then somehow Tim, Tina May's husband, got conned into coming and escorting us to keep us all out of mischief. And then we had to have our mascot, Taz.
There you go. So what was day one? What was day one? So you start at the trailhead there, and what was your destination, and was there a particular job that was taking place on day one?
It was just to get in. So we had to pack up all of the gear and equipment for the volunteer group that we took in, the fire lookout folks. And then it was, what was it, 17 miles to where we were going to...
17 miles
cabin.
To the cabin that we called it a day there. They hiked to the cabin and met us there, too.
Mm-hmm. But I've got to kind of elaborate on this a little bit, because especially for those of us that are not used to packing in animals, there's an art to that. And I've never seen so many loops made to keep the packages together. But not only that, they weigh each one of those packages, even though I'm really beginning to think that Chuck does not need a scale, even though he double-checked himself. That man has got it down to a T, because it has got to be even on both sides for that pack animal. And it's very, you know, prestigious. And it was very interesting to watch them put everything together, and it is time-consuming. I mean, it's a lot of work to get all that together and make sure that those horses are comfortable and everything's even for them with those large packages. Which brings me to a question: what is the most weight that you put on your pack animals on each side?
The most that I've ever packed is that what you're asking on a
yes.
side? 167
yes.
pounds on a side.
Oh my goodness, that's a lot.
And everybody asked me, because I do packing clinics all winter long, teach everybody how to do what you did, and they asked me, how much weight can you put on that poor animal? And, you know, there's a statistic, you know, a horse can carry 20-25% of its body weight, and a mule can carry 30-35% of its body weight. But really, I tell everybody, if you can pick it up and put it on the side of the animal is fine. Because Andy can only really pick up 100-110 pounds and tie it on the side of that animal. So if I can pick it up, that animal can carry it. Which then, as the little side trail, you read those horse form type equine things online, and there's always the one for the overweight rider.
And I
laugh, because it's some poor gal. Normally it's a gal, because the guy doesn't use the computer. He's telling his wife to type on the computer, right? And they said, you know, I weigh 165 pounds, and all my friends think that I need to go buy a Clydesdale because I weigh too much. And I'm like, no, you don't. You don't at all. Because the guy that's asking that question probably weighs 240, and he has a 50-pound saddle. So you're back to he's putting on a regular old horse 300 pounds, and the horse does fine all day long. So then when you're packing that animal, even though dead weight is heavier than live weight because it's not helping that animal, it's not uncommon to break 100 pounds, and you're not being cruel at all to that animal.
Wow.
Right.
Wow.
So what was your journey like? I mean, Tina May, this was a new thing for you. So Yeah, so describe for us what was going on day one, day two, what was the camping like. Always an important thing for you is the food. You know.
Oh, the food.
Yeah, share a little bit. With.
I think we gained weight. Andy, for all of his issues, is one hell of a camp cook.
Yes, he is.
My list of issues. Yes.
I mean, we had lasagna out on the base camp. We had steak and au gratin potatoes, and he makes the best breakfast fajitas. I mean, yum. I mean, it was awesome. Yeah, I believe we all kind of gained a little weight on that trip.
Yeah.
But
go ahead, Tina.
No, I was just going to say it was very fascinating for me. You know, just going, we got the tail end. We were watching the line from the back end. So we ate a lot of dust, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very interesting to watch these guys. They keep an eye on the horses. When they're in front and they're tagging along this pack team, they're constantly looking back at their pack just to make sure, number one, that they're all there. Number two, that they make sure that everything stays level. You know, if they hit a tree and something slides up sideways or something like that, then they're stopping that horse and they're going out there and they're fixing. And we've had some pretty hairy, scary trails that we went across with those pack animals, too. I mean, there's several times that I looked down on sitting on the horse, looking down on my foot in the stirrup, and it was hanging over a cliff.
Why does everybody look down and they never look up?
Oh, I looked up too. I did look up, but looking down was a little more eerie. That's
okay.
When I looked up and was thanking the good Lord, you know, for being there.
Well, I kind of like your new term there. I like hairy scary. I think maybe even better than I do sporty, Robert. I think I like hairy scary. Hairy scary stuff.
Now, see, I thought most of the trails were pretty darn good. Even going up to the top of the mountain, where all I did was look at that uphill shoulder and think happy thoughts, because I sure as heck wasn't looking down. But the trails they weren't bad. There was a couple sporty or hairy spots, but I think for the most part they were pretty good.
They were pretty good.
There was going up to the lookout. There was a sloughy spot. Mm-hmm. A
yeah, but that was down low.
Yeah, I know, but it was still.
It
an
was
ugly
still sloughy.
Spot.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Yeah. So now a question that came to my mind when we were talking about taking care of the pack animals. Now, were you taking mules? Were you taking horses? And how many were in the pack string?
I pulled five. Chuck pulled six.
Okay. All right. So
you had
Robert, and Robert pulled the circus pony.
And Robert had a half. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the circus pony did pretty good too, didn't it?
The circus
she
pony
did, okay.
did awesome.
Yeah.
She did
yeah.
great.
Until
that
we
is...
got about 300 yards from the lookout tower and the little guy just ran out of air.
Well, and that's when Robert gets off and pushes, so that's okay.
Well,
no,
all
that's when Robert
air.
Gets
it's
off
way
and,
up
looks,
there.
And keeps looking at that uphill side because he's not looking down.
Well, you know what? I think your little Icelandic little pony just knew everybody needed a rest at point because they were all huffing and puffing. That was kind of a straight up, straight down ride there. Going up.
That was. Gosh. But the views at the top, you guys got to enjoy them for a lot longer than I did. You know, I had to compose myself, you know, holding on to that post that held the thing up. But the views at the top were something.
Oh, it was gorgeous. And we looked down at the neatest thing was looking down at a golden eagle flying below us.
Mm-hmm.
It was just absolutely awesome.
Oh, that's pretty neat.
Didn't get it on picture, though. That's the heck of it.
Oh, gosh. Well, we want to take another quick break. I want to hear some stories. I mean, I want you guys to tell on each other when we come back. I want to hear from Tina May, since it's her first trip back into the Bob, what was the most impressive thing. But we're going to take a real quick break and remind you that Saddle Up America is brought to you by Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. You can learn more about TrailGuard at TrailGuard.org and by our sponsors in the general store, where you'll find everything for the horse lover. And you can shop with them on our website at EquestrianLegacy.net. You're listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio, heard around the world online at EquestrianLegacy.net.
Brush them down, saddle up, adjust the strap and stirrup, walk him easy down the road. Open the gate, make sure it's closed. Time to think and laugh, of course. Friends help to ease the load. Think I'm falling in love with Montana, where green trees cover the mountains still. Think I'm falling in love with the blue sky up above and the sun. Walking through wildflowers, just in time for summer showers. Horses take a bite to chew. Riding up and down the hills, breathing deep and take my fill. Feeling good 'cause I'm with you. I think I'm falling in love with Montana, where green trees cover the mountains still. Think I'm falling in love with the blue sky up above and the sound of the eagles on the hill. Learning lessons from a friend, learning love that never ends. Horseshoes hung above the door. Brush them down and say goodbye. We'll ride again up in the sky. His great granddad was a shining star. Leaving behind any trouble, cowgirls forever grand. Get a hat, get a friend, get a song and ride the wind, and get a special feeling for this land. I think I'm falling in love with Montana, where green trees cover the mountains still. Think I'm falling in love with the blue sky up above and the sound of the eagles on the hill. I think I'm falling in love with Montana.
That is Lily Roberts and In Love with Montana. And Tina May, did you fall in love with Montana while you were out there?
I did the Bob Wilderness. I most certainly, or Bob Marshall Wilderness for sure. It's gorgeous out there.
That's cool. That's cool. Well, tell us about some of the exciting things that you got to see, some of the destinations, maybe some memorable things for you that you got to see.
Well, absolutely. Going up to the jumbo at the fire tower, that was just breathtakingly beautiful. You was on top of the world. And then the whole packing experience was wonderful. And just being out there in the wilderness with professionals, these guys totally impressed me. Both Robert, Andy, and Chuck were just awesome. I mean, we did all this stuff without a hitch. I mean, it went very smooth. The barbed wire, going to the Danaher cabin and getting out that barbed wire and watching Andy put that together and everything, that was exciting. And, of course, riding up upon a couple bears was kind of cool.
Oh, gosh.
I have to say I've never done that before.
That's cool. Now, Andy, you're the expert there in the Bob. Were there some historic sites that you saw, like this cabin that she just talked about?
Yeah, there was. They got to see some stuff. They got to see both the basin cabin that we based out of and the Danaher cabin. They were both built, what they tell us, early 1900s was basin, post-World War II with the CCC work crews back then. They went to Jumbo that was built in the 50s, just, you know, post-World War II. And most of you probably don't realize this, but see, Robert Eversaw is extremely scared of heights, even though he's a Marine Corps paratrooper.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he just never volunteered to jump out of the plane. And but we got him up there, and I always knew that he had his jump wings, and he's ex, you know, Marine Corps. And we got him up there, and I said, look at this view. And Robert's not looking out the windows. And I said, are you okay? And he goes, I'm scared of heights.
Tis true.
But
and,
he
would kind of look out. He would kind of look. He really wasn't a big fan of walking the catwalk. Jumbo, just to kind of paint a visual for everybody, it's about a 12 by 12 glass box that
mm-hmm.
sets on the top of a rock pinnacle. So you can see 360 degrees around the Bob Marshall Wilderness. And it sets so high up there that it has a big radio repeater in it. So everybody that's running on handheld radios around the complex can bounce signal off that repeater, and they can forward those messages to whoever needs to get that message. But, yeah, they got to see that. We were riding down the trail also. And you could hear a phone ringing, and Tina
mm-hmm.
Mason saying, I hear a phone. And because we're in the middle of nowhere. And I said, oh, it's coming up. And so there is an old crank-up phone. It's a trail phone just nailed to a tree, and it's just ringing. Somebody's making a call.
It was the coolest thing. It was the
yes.
coolest thing.
Well, now, who answered it? Which one of you guys answered the phone?
I got off it like normal. I was too slow.
Yeah, it's
well,
something,
now,
you know. Oh, go ahead.
I just started so we can understand what the purpose for the fire tower was and is. But what about the cabins? What were these early cabins there for?
They're set up, and they're still used on a regular basis by the Forest Service because the complex is so big. They're actually not open for public use. There's a couple that are set up on a rental program, but they're scattered around, and they're about every 12 to 20 miles apart on the mainline trails, and that's so that their crews can have a shelter as they hike around that complex, because the bulk of the Forest Service staff that maintains all those trails, they're not packing tents or anything with them, and so they will base out of those cabins as they meander around the complex.
Okay. Back in the 1900s, Andy, what were they using those cabins for then?
It was Forest Service work.
Okay.
There's a couple of them that were actually trapper cabins. Sabado was a sheep herder cabin. At the turn of the century, there was a family that ran sheep up in the north end of the Bob Marshall complex. And through the period of time after it became wilderness, the Forest Service did a land swap so they could take that piece. And they just converted it into an admin cabin. But you can look, and they Robert and Tina May got to meet Andy Nelson. He is in charge of all the historic buildings in northwest Montana for the Forest Service. And he could tell you the age by how they're built, how the logs are dovetailed, are they done in siding, or what the case may be. And he has to stick to all that. How, you know, and even Jumbo, they got to pull the windows out and they're going to reglaze them, but they have to glaze them in. They can't put, you know, in their old single pane glass, and they can't replace it with new double pane or triple pane, even though it would be warmer, because it's a historic building.
Right. Now, is this an area that you were riding in that tourists come into to ride with outfitters to go explore, or
Benchmark is, and like Tina talked about earlier on in the show, that she saw all these people coming and going. Benchmark is a really busy place. I don't think it's that horribly busy. But there's groups going in all the time because that's the closest access point to the China Wall.
Okay.
And so everybody comes in there, they pack up, and right when you cross the swinging bridge right away, and we'll get Tina May's take on the swinging bridge. And but right after that, it splits. And if you would have went to the right, that would take you up towards the China Wall. We went left and drifted away from that and got down into the interior of the complex.
Okay. All right. So the interior is less visited than obviously the China Wall and some of the other
sites. It's not on everybody's bucket list because it's just mile after mile after mile of just being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that being said, though, we did run across at least one outfitter because we shared coffee with him every day.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Because he was losing his animals.
Yes.
The first day was a horse. The next day was his mules.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where his clients were.
Maybe he lost them, too.
See, I was with the right group.
We didn't lose nothing, even if we tried.
We didn't. I mean, seriously, I was so impressed. I mean, I expected something to go wrong in that week that we were in there with all the horses we had. We had 17 total horses. Chuck had 6 on his string. Andy had 5. Robert had 1 plus all our riding horses. And seriously, it went without a hitch. It couldn't be better. I mean, it was great.
Uneventful.
It was uneventful, but yet, you know, the bear was kind of exciting.
And then, you know, years ago when I started packing, I wanted it to be an eventful, memorable trip. Now I don't want them to be eventful at all.
Yeah.
Don't blame me there.
Yeah.
I just want to go do it and call it a day.
Yeah, tell us about the bear, Tina May. You've talked about the bear a couple of times.
Well, when we had come back, we had or Andy actually, I think, seen it first. I don't know if Andy seen it first or Robert seen it first, because remember, I'm at the back end eating the dust. And they had seen a bear. I just about took Taz's bandana around his neck. But anyway, Tim at that time had Robert's camera. And so I'm trying to take pictures with my phone, which was to no avail. It did not happen. The horses were great. I mean, you know, they didn't have really a big reaction whatsoever. But this particular bear was interested in us because he kept looking toward us. And Tim's sitting there taking pictures, and this bear is walking toward him. And he kept walking toward him, And I'm going, Tim, that's a bear. Tim, that's a bear. So finally we walked on, and he followed us for like, what, 100 yards or something like that. And then he went on his merry way, and everything was fine. And then later on, Tim and I think they was going to call me the bone collector, because I went back to get some things that we had found on our own. And I had also walked up onto another bear, and that one kind of startled us because it was expected. It went around a turn. He was right there. He popped. Mocha jumped. I jumped. The bear took off. So it was quite an experience. It was kind of neat. And we have bears in our area. I just never had rode up on one.
You've never rode up on a grizzly bear before? Like, what did you call it?
Grizzly bear?
Yeah. No, it was you know, and we were actually talking about bears prior to this at the trailhead and going in the first day, and what's the chance of seeing
a
bear.
Funny.
You know, what problems do we have with bears? And I said, really, if you run a clean camp and there's rules out there for a reason, and you have very little. And I said, we've never had a problem. The horses see it, and it's not like you read in all these dramatic books, you know, and,
mm-mm.
You know, the horse rears up and throws you and you get 8, and that really doesn't happen. And
good to
and
know.
And so we're going
history.
Down the trail, and the first day we see this bear, and it kind of, it's trying to come to us, but it's not really trying to come to us, and but it's coming our way, and it's fiddling mm-hmm. around, and we ride this trail, and then we round the corner, and there's this pile of, and Robert's horses could care less that the bear's even there. But when we round this corner to cross this little creek, there's a pile of shoes, because this other family that we had met just moments before, they had water shoes and then their hiking shoes, and they waded this deep creek, and they left all these wet shoes in a pile. Robert's horse freaked out more over a pile of shoes next to the trail than he did the bear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Bear, pile of tennis shoes, rodeo was on.
That's too funny. That is too funny.
But when we crossed the creek, what the bear was actually, it wasn't pacing us down, you know, and
no.
we weren't going to be on the cover of Outdoor Life with this bear attacking the horse string or anything. It was on the other side of the creek, this little group of hikers had a little camp set up, and they left all their backpacks, all their food, and all their gear laying on the ground.
Mm.
So he was just going to go over and try to help himself for lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it was.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Wow. Well, we taking time for another real quick break, and we're going to talk about one of our great show sponsors, and that's Trail Guard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. Trail Guard offers unlimited vehicle towing to a dealership that services your make vehicle, a second tow vehicle to get you to your trailer or horse's home or to your destination, 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the one that you're driving or someone driving your vehicle, and one of my favorites, and that's a 24-hour coverage for you and your vehicle or the personal assistant to help you plan your trip and much, much more. Trail Guard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about Trail Guard today at trailguard.org. And when we come back, I'm hoping that we're going to hear some stories about Tina May that we haven't heard yet. And nobody's told off on Andy. So we've heard about Robert, but we're going to come back and talk more with these three on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Shades of night are falling as the wind begins to sigh, and the world is silhouetted against the sky.
Oh, oh, oh!
Ooh, ooh,
ooh. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
On the evening breeze, move along, blue shadows, move along. Soon the dawn will come, and you'll be on your way. But until the darkness sheds its veil, there'll be blue shadows on the trail.
Thank you.
But until the darkness sheds its veil, there'll be blue shadows on the trail. Shadows on the trail.
Riders in the sky and blue shadows on the trail. And so I got a couple of questions. First of all, I want to find out if there was any fishing or any catching that went on during this trip.
There wasn't. We were going to, but it just didn't happen.
All right. Well, at least
I saw a fish.
You saw a fish, yeah.
I saw a fish.
Yeah. Well, Robert always likes to talk about his fishing, but he doesn't talk much about catching anything. So I wanted to ask
that
question.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
There's a problem there with the talking about part. You'd have to catch the talk.
You got to catch the talk. That's right. Well, you're out on the trail. I know what you're doing during the day. You're traveling from one destination to the other. What were you guys doing at night around a campfire or in the cabin? I mean, what were the evenings
campfire
like?
Campfire.
That was the bad part. We couldn't have a campfire.
Okay. Uh-uh.
Only thing missing on this whole trip was no campfire. But we did gather around and talk.
All right. So I mean, did anybody do any poetry or singing? Any of you guys singers?
No.
I mean, Tina May does. I mean, she can actually sing. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Now,
well,
Tina May did not share that with us. That would have been worthwhile information to know while we were there.
Yeah. Well,
she's holding out.
Didn't say how.
And we're
well
all grateful that Chuck didn't sing.
I would scare everything away.
Oh, gosh. But so what were the nights like? You sit around and you chat a bit. What was bedtime? I mean, you guys hit the sack early and get up early. What are your days like? Like that.
Well, we're horse folks, so you know that you wake up as soon as the critters start screaming for breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, and heck, I was all keen for breakfast too in that first cup of coffee. Andy not only is a great camp cook, he is a great camp coffee maker.
Mm-hmm.
And then you know, most days we were at it pretty much most days and getting back at dusk and stuff. So, you know, without the campfire, you know, as soon as the sun came down, you're staring at each other.
But
in
at
the
that
dark
point in time, you know, the sun was coming down at 10, and we sat around and when we chatted on the porch of the cabin or wherever we happened to be. And I mean, the stars are breathtaking. I mean, it goes on forever. Hence, we're the big sky country. And,
right.
But, you know, we chatted until, you know, well after 10, pushing 11, some, you know, right in there. And we called her a day because we were up at 6.
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, when that sun went down, same thing happened in the morning. As soon as that sun went up, it was like there was a 20-degree difference. I mean, it was a big difference once that sun went down. And the horses were grazing. So it wasn't like, you know, we were taking feed to them in the morning. We would have to move them and let them graze before we would head out as well. So we would move them in the evening and we'd move them in the morning when we first got up so they could get their breakfast before we headed out, because they had some hard riding.
Yeah. Did you pack in any grain for them, anything, or was it just the graze that where you camped?
No,
tonight?
we just took graze in for them.
Okay.
Graze in. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So,
we had a lot
so,
of grass. You know, it hadn't burned up yet in the forest fire, so we had plenty of graze for us.
Yeah,
right.
We just
today,
moved them around.
Today's probably not as true where we were, but yeah. Because
yeah.
We got out, and then they evacuated that trailhead a week after we left for forest fires.
Yeah. Well, the fire situation all throughout the West, and goodness gracious, the things that are going on in California right now are just breaking your heart. But,
oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so what did you guys learn about Tina May while you were out there?
She has to have an air mattress to sleep.
Oh. The air mattress. What about the boat winch?
The boat winch.
I'll never forget the boat winch.
So what,
that was
then,
more of a Tim thing.
what's the boat winch about, Tina May? What's the deal?
Well, all right. Now, I'm saying this on the air, but bless my husband's pea-pick and heart. I'm actually
doesn't
a knot
know how
girl.
To tie a knot.
Yeah, I actually prefer to tie a knot, but my husband saw me. I'm short. I'm 5'2". Putting on the high line and everything because I'd gotten a new high line, had tried out, so I was trying out in the yard. And he seen me out there, and he wanted to know how come I didn't have a come along. And I said, well, those things pinch your fingers. I don't like them, and they pinch their fingers. And bless his heart, he comes out there with his bow wrench, and he sticks it on my high line. It's got this nice little, you know, crank and everything. And of course, my mind's thinking, oh, my goodness, the gadget people will love this because if I could just make it smaller – for women's hands, where it's not so heavy and bulky and everything, I may just come up with something with these high lines. However, it's actually already out there. They don't use it for high lines, but it's out there. So I never fix something that's not broken. But Tim likes his boat wrench, and so he brought it with him.
you got to tell the story how you hid it inside all the stuff.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys thought when you saw this boat winch come out, you know, when you're packing up. So.
Well,
well, the
I don't
same
think
thing that we just started this whole conversation with. It's a boat winch.
What's wrong with the knot, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it all started. And, you know, you got three guys staring up at this tree with a boat winch tied to it. And we're all going, what? And then they all blame me because I packed it in, you know. And so they said, well, you're the one that brought it in.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was interesting.
No, and Tina May has to be supported at night by a cushy little air mattress, so she had first-class accommodations and, you know.
It
right.
was nice, actually.
Oh.
Right.
Well, no, we went camping, and we didn't have the mattress, and I am very glad that we had that down there, actually. It was very comfy. Of course, the only one that had one.
So you know to watch for Tina May with a boat winch and a mattress when she comes.
Yeah,
next time.
Everything revolves around water with her.
Yeah.
Well, after seeing Tina May's horse trailer, though, I can see how she's become accustomed to only the very best.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You know, so. So with that rig that she's pulling around, heavens, that's high class. So we should have expected that she would only take the very best, you know, into the wilderness with her.
Yeah, yeah.
I got good sleep at night.
Well, that's good. Oh, gosh. Well, it's been fun listening to you guys talk about your adventure up there. And Tina May, would you do it again?
Absolutely. Absolutely,
now,
I'm ready.
Now, so anyway, the highlight of the trip for you being the first time into the Bob would be what, if you could pick out one thing?
The whole packing experience.
The packing
The whole
part
packing
of-
experience, yes. You know, I've trail rode and I've been in the wilderness somewhat, and I've been out in the trails and I've been in no man's land, but the whole packing experience was awesome.
Okay.
And with professionals.
Okay.
All right. The best.
All right. So now.
Professional is such a strong adjective.
I know, but I mean it well.
Yeah. So if anybody wanted to plan a trip into the Bob, what's the best time of the year? What are the seasons to try to get up there? And what should they do before they head that way, Andy?
If anybody wants to come over and go like into Bob Marshall, they need to start contacting, and if they're not going to do it themselves, an outfitter late winter, early spring, so they can get their time set up, or start taking vacation off the last of July, first of August. Later on in August, it's beautiful. In early September, as a norm, we have leaves that are changing colors. All the, you know, tourists go home. You get the trails to yourself. And it's before hunting season, so you don't run into all those hunting camps going in. This year's not that way because the late August, early September is our fire season.
Right.
And so you run that where your plan could be nicked by the Forest Service because of trail closures in fire season. So the best, safest time to plan a big adventure is late July, early August.
Okay. All right. That is good information for our listeners out there. And how about the fires? Are you having any issues with fires out in your area
right
now?
Yeah, they were going to hellevac me out last week.
Oh, wow.
And they wanted me to turn all my stock loose and just pull the tack off of them and turn them loose and find them later. And I said, you know what? I rode in with them. I'll ride out with them. And but they've reopened
wow.
a bunch of the areas up. Fires are. We got some rain. We got a little snow in the high country. And the fire crews have been working nonstop now for 2 months, and they're starting to get their arms around it. So that or the fires are running out of fuel, one or the other. So,
well, that's all good to know. And I saw something on the national weather early this morning, and I can never keep the El Ninos and La Ninos or whatever straight, but they're predicting more rainfall than normal for the coast area, and so that's something for our friends out on the West Coast through Washington, Oregon, and California to look forward to. So I hope that happens. But anyway, you guys have been a ton of fun to visit with, and look forward to finding out more about your adventures. And I guess you were kind to each other. I mean, you really didn't tell off that much, so that was pretty cool.
No, we did really good. I mean, like, the highlight of the trip was Robert had a new Gizmo Gazmo, a little toy. And it could
Robert's the gadget man.
And it could text messages. You know, I have a spot, which is the personal locator, and you poke a button and you think the signal went out, and it shows on Google Earth. The wife gets to get up and show where I'm at. He had the next generation by another company, and you could actually text messages back and forth. And my wife actually sent a message to us that said, "Do you have Lucy?" Because she's missing, which is one of my mules. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so because she was doing a head count, didn't know just which animals we had taken for the week. And Robert's dog, Boo.
Yes, graduated from his latest puppy class while we were in. And so let me know. Made my
yeah,
so we made
we
my
got
week.
An update on puppy class. So
that is true. That is
it was very quite interesting. And you guys got some exciting things to talk about as well. Let's talk about some exciting things that's happening. And Andy does have the Trailhead Supply Store, and Robert's got his Trailmeister. I love his site. So talk about some of the exciting things coming up, guys.
Andy? Everybody
Robert
dances.
It could be, I don't know, we could have had too much adult beverage at some point, or... But somehow Robert and I've been approached several times to do a radio show, and Robert somehow drank the Kool-Aid with me one day, and it looks like we're going to have us a radio program, and we're going to call it the Trail Guys. And we don't have days. We did a demo reel, and we sat in the sound booth the other day. And the more we laugh, the better the producers liked it. So I'm really not sure what the finished product's going to be, but
I think
off
the producers
rolling.
Are going to have to be geniuses to, you know, turn to put lipstick on the pig that we were talking about.
You guys are going to be a hoot. I just know it's just going to be hilarious. So,
oh, gosh,
that's funny. And then Robert, you've got some exciting things coming on as well.
Yeah, well, you know, with the world being on fire, I've been, you know, doing some more front country stuff. Just got done with this past weekend with a chat at the Flying Horseshoe Ranch in Washington. I think we talked about it last week a little bit with the Washington Quarter Horse folks, and that was a hoot. Got to see a whole other side with giant big rig RVs and the like. So that was a lot different than my little hammock that I usually string around the tent. So that was good. And then certainly the radio thing. So I've been driving over to Whitefish with Andy.
There's
a fair
the commute
bit.
For work.
Yes, 4 hours.
He gets up at 3 a.m. to come over here to hit our sound booth time.
How funny.
Yeah,
funny.
I don't have traffic.
Early on in the show before, he's not awake yet.
I know where the McDonald's are on the way, so I can, you know, get my caffeine fix. So by the time I get there, I'm wired. So,
well, at
so
least
that's good.
You're in different time zones, so that helps you, Robert. That's a little plus for you.
It only
no,
makes him
worse.
Feel better.
Because Andy's an hour later than me, so I got to get up an hour earlier.
That's right. You do.
Yeah. Andy needs to move here, and I need to move there.
There
I
you
think
go.
That's how it works.
There you go. Well, listen, you guys have been great guests. Love visiting with you and finding out about this adventure that that you guys all took together, and great that you got to meet finally. And,
oh, it was great to put names and faces together. I mean, I know Robert, known him for years, but Tina May, it's that photo on Facebook or a voice on a phone for a long time now, and it was just truly a pleasure to meet her.
Well, it was. Aw,
thanks.
That was great.
Well, we appreciate you guys being with us. So you can find out more about Andy by visiting trailheadsupply.com, and of course Robert, the Trailmeister Eversole, at trailmeister.com as well. And appreciate you guys taking your time to be with us in a different time zone today. So love our conversation and our visit. Look forward, Robert, talking with you again next month.
Looking forward to it. Talk to you then. Take care, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Wait a minute. Before we sign off,
Now,
of the four people that are on the radio right now, three of us have been into the Bob Marshall, and there's this guy in Tennessee. I don't think he's been there yet. I think he needs to free up his summer schedule perhaps for next year.
That'd be nice.
Tell him the elevation.
That would be nice, but I'm kind of like you. I don't like heights, and then unlike some of us, we have to work, you know, every day. So it's kind of hard to get away. But that's on my bucket list. That is
all righty.
All right.
Well, you guys have a good day.
Good.
Bye, guys.
Thanks, Robert. All right. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more with Tina Mae Weber, and we're going to visit with her just a little bit more on Equestrian Legacy Radio.
Well, the hearts are turning, made this man as wise as he was old. And words don't come easy, but his eyes are the windows to his soul. Like a wheel rolling over and over again, till that woman drove in and she railed it like a wild western wind. Wild and woman, mountain man, she is the answer to the question he never knew. Billings is where she ran out of gas. They say hope remains when all the stubborn pride in you is gone. Yeah, she was down like a stone that's been thrown, but she was dead down. Braid like a rope down her back. He thought, man, I'd be a fool not to stop and help a gal that looks like that. He said, can I help you? She said, well, I've been helped by men like you enough. says it's all right if you can carry me to town in that truck. She wore a flat-brimmed hat and her boots were the buckaroo style. And she knew from his truck this cowboy had been lost for a while. Aw, he didn't talk much, but his dark eyes just blew her away. They rolled into Bell and she knew that this was where the cowboy would stay. Wild woman, mountain man, she is the answer to the question he never knew that he had. Wild woman, mountain man, he was the perfect man to mess up her perfect plan. Wild woman, mountain man. Wild woman, mountain man.
Well, that's Mary Kay, Montana. Well, I'm sorry, Wyoming woman and Montana man. I get those two states confused.
Wyoming and Montana, you kind of got them flip-flopped.
Yeah. I guess Wyoming better hurry up and annex Montana so I don't have to get that confused anymore. But anyway, Settle America is made possible by our great sponsors at the General Store. You'll find everything for the horse lover and folks that love the Western and equestrian lifestyle in the General Store on our website at equestrianlegacy.net, and by TrailGuard, 24-hour roadside travel assistance. TrailGuard was founded with one mission in mind, and that's guarding you down life's trails. You can learn more about TrailGuard today at trailguard.org. And Tina May, fun show. Listen to you guys talk about each other.
Oh, it was a hoot. We had a really, really good time. Really good time.
Well, it sounds like a once-in-a-lifetime adventure, and so glad you guys were able to make that happen. So a lot of fun finding out about that. Who do we have coming up next week on the show?
Well, next week, and you caught me off guard. I wasn't ready. Next week we have Lynn Crow. He rides for a mission. And we're going to have him on the show for next week, and I think he's got a story to tell, and it's going to be a great show.
Yeah, well, we're looking forward to talking with him. He's in Canada and has made some pretty long rides. Yeah, he's made some great rides to raise money for some great mission work that he's involved in, so that's going to be fun talking with Lynn. And then on Thursday, this Thursday, on the Campfire Cafe, we've got a really great show lined up. At noon Central Time, we're going to be listening to the music and talking with the one and only Dave Stamey. And then another of our friends, Phil Randall, is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking about the 50th annual Buffalo Roundup that takes place in Custer, South Dakota, in just a few days. So that's going to be a fun show.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, and then on Sunday with Blessed Trails, we've got another great guest that's joining Belinda, and a perfect way to start your week on Equestrian Legacy Radio. So, Tina May, we need to tell folks about our Legacy Club.
Yes, we do. Our Legacy Club is free. It offers discount members from our Legacy Club sponsors. You are automatically entered into our drawings for free prizes, like our end-of-the-year prize of a two-horse Hydro Horse system from our premier sponsor, Hydro Horse. You can sign up to be a Legacy Club member at equestrianlegacy.net.
Okay, so if you're looking for a great place to go camping this fall, or to visit, you can visit our Legacy Select campgrounds, and you receive discounts or special offers from them as a Legacy Club member, and always discounts from our great sponsors. You can find them in the General Store with our Legacy Club membership. So a lot of fun stuff. And, you know, coming up in June, it's only 9 months away, and Equestrian Legacy Radio hosts a benefit for the Fiona Rose Murphy Foundation. to help kids with brittle bone disease. And so we've got a great lineup. This year we're going to be joined again by Craig Cameron's Extreme Cowboy National Championship. Will be part of our event. Great trail riding and a great facility up there. And then we also are having a three-day music festival and arts and crafts festival. So it's going to be a lot of fun and some amazing talent that's already lined up to be part of the music fest. So stay tuned and visit our website at equestrianlegacy.net for more information about that. And I would suggest people make plans to attend that early, because we are going to fill up this year. It could be a great time. And Tina May, I guess you're going to be back with us, aren't you?
Yes, I do plan on. It's a great ride. It's a fun time, neat people to see, and a wonderful, wonderful cause.
It really, really is. And so anyway, well, it's been fun finding out about what the three of you got into, the five of you got into, plus Taz. And we may talk more about some of your other exploits going and coming.
Uh-oh, where'd you go?
I'm here. But anyway, we want to remind our listeners, as always, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride on Equestrian Legacy Radio. And we're going to close the show out today with a beautiful song by Kristen Harris. It's called Down the Trail. And we thank you, as always, for listening to Equestrian Legacy Radio.
I'll hop up on my pony and I'll ride away down the trail to San Antone. I can see him standing waiting by that old range gate. He waits for me alone. To the hills and over the plains I'll ride, ride, ride. I won't stop until I'm standing by his side. Roll on, little pony, let that old wind moan. I'm headed back to San Antonio, down the trail to San Antone. Well, I just received a letter from my man in San Antone, asking me to be his bride. I know he really loves me and his heart is true, so I guess I better take a ride. So I'll hop up on my pony and I'll ride. Pony.